But I think we must, you know, better understand the past to inform ourselves today and be able then to make the right decisions to guide our future. And I think NATO does a terrific job doing that. The papers published are first class, and it's very important work.
It is. I certainly agree with you 100%. I want to mention that over the past year, I've been provided with an opportunity to work as the program editor of Global Horizons. And this is where I conducted interviews with diplomats, government officials, influential members of the international community, scholars, academics, and students, in order to provide individuals with accessibility to obtaining more information about the ongoing issues in different parts of the world, whether it be Europe, whether it be Asia, America. I think it's so important for today's youth to engage in dialogue. And oftentimes, it's useful for those who are interested in obtaining further education about the ongoing struggles and issues in Europe and in different parts of the world to have a program where they can tune in, to have accessibility to a website where they can read the most recent publications. Because knowledge is extremely powerful, and the best way to obtain the latest news is to look at different sources that are out there and to read, to listen, to ask questions, to be engaging, to question what it is that you're reading, to question what it is you are listening to. So I do want to mention that the NATO Association of Canada is doing an amazing job, you know, with the quality of the publications that are released by our team of program editors on a weekly basis. I encourage everyone to go on the NATO Association of Canada's website and to look at all of the programs that are available for people to obtain more information about women in security, about the Canadian Armed Forces, about ongoing issues in Ukraine. So I think that being educated is fundamental, but also questioning what it is that you are reading, questioning what it is you are listening to is the best way of becoming engaged in the process. After the first 8 months at the NATO Association of Canada, I then became I'm currently Canada's NATO podcast lead contributor and outreach coordinator. So I have an immense amount of respect for the president of the NATO Association of Canada, Julie Lindhout, and our corporate development officer, Robert Baines, for the work that they do, because it's one thing to manage a team of program editors, but it's another thing to provide individuals with an opportunity to take part in various conferences, to put on conferences. Over the past year, I've organized many conferences, the Economy Forum, which took place at the Ontario Trade Center here in Toronto. That was one of the many conferences that I organized with the team at the NATO Association of Canada, along with the conference for Poland, which was put on by the Embassy of Poland, the Monk School of Global Affairs, and the NATO Association of Canada. We all worked together in partnership to put on a conference before the Warsaw Summit. So just taking part in various conferences, roundtables, and events has been tremendously rewarding. I think that it really makes a difference when you have a community of members, a community of people who are interested in not only obtaining more information about the work that's being released or the ongoing issues, but I think it's remarkable to have such a strong team of members and program editors and junior research analysts and senior fellows who are all a part of the association and who all make a contribution, whether it be through being a member of a board, whether it be through being an editor, whether it be through taking part in an event. I think everyone plays a role in the success of the association. So on behalf of the NATO Association of Canada, I want to thank you for being a member of our board, because it's people like you who make a significant difference. And it all comes down to engaging, educating, and allowing the public to become a part of the association. And that's why at the NATO Association of Canada, we provide memberships. So anyone who's interested, as you know, anyone who's interested in attending our events can come out to an event, see what it's like. And then if the individual's interested in attending all of our events, then we do have membership opportunities available for students, for anyone who's interested in becoming a member. So to all of those who are tuning in today, I encourage you to go on the NATO Association of Canada's website. Look at the publications that are being released every week. Look at all of the programs that we do have available and consider becoming a member. It's highly beneficial if you're someone who's interested in engaging in dialogue, if you're someone who's interested in obtaining more information, if international relations, global affairs, diplomacy, and ongoing issues that are happening around the world are of interest to you, which they are to most people, then I invite each and every one of you to become a member, and I hope to see you around at the NATO Association of Canada. I need to mention that you have been continuously involved in the Irish community in Canada by making numerous contributions to a number of Irish organizations. These include your involvement with the Ireland Fund of Canada from 1980 to 2004, serving as its chair from 1989 to 1992, along with being a director of the America-Ireland Fund. You are also a founding director of the Ireland-Canada Chamber of Commerce, and you remain a member to this day. So, Mr. Kearns, with your expertise and your knowledge, what is the best advice that you can provide to those who are interested in becoming more involved in the Irish community in Canada?
Well, I think it's very rewarding. I think the more you give, the more you get back. So to be involved in volunteer work, and I don't think one has to specify just the Irish community, the Irish Canadian community. I think any volunteer work on public boards, whether it be concert halls or museums or galleries or medical causes or hospitals or schools, all of these things make for a more stable, safer society. And I attended a dinner a couple of years ago for the outgoing police chief, Bill Blair, who was asked, who pointed out that on many occasions when he traveled around the world, so many different countries asked him, how is it that you have such a law-abiding society in Canada? Such a low murder rate in Toronto, for example. And he said, well, it's mainly because of the degree of involvement and participation of the members of the society in the society, and the high level of volunteerism in every walk of life. And everyone is invested in the community. They give their time, they give their money, they give their expertise. And I think that's something that we should encourage at the earliest age for children, how important it is to give back, how important it is to be caring about those who are less fortunate, and how important it is to maintain a very rich and vibrant arts community. Because the arts community is supported by creative people, and creative people give rise to an arts community, a vibrant arts community. And I think if you look at the story of Toronto over the last 50 years, it's now become a major center of innovation for technology, creativity, the arts community, certainly TV production, film production. It's a vibrant hub, and it's a major source of revenue for the city and for the province and, of course, for Canada. So all of that became possible because, I believe anyway, because of a vibrant arts community. And societies that don't attach any real value or are dismissive of the importance of all the different manifestations of the arts, whether it's music or literature or theatre or painting or sculpture, they've lost their soul. And so my philosophy would be that I work to live. I don't live to work.
I think that's the best philosophy to have. You have to enjoy life. And Toronto has so much to offer. Being around creative people allows you to be creative. Being around people who are innovative and who can share that creativity is not only inspiring, but it allows one to explore their inner creativity, to determine whether they have that innovative spirit, whether they have that drive to take it to the next level. Here in Toronto, we have an abundance of creative people. We have some of the best museums, art galleries, operas, fashion shows. It's one of those cities where it really stands on its own. And I feel so fortunate to be here in Toronto, obviously with my background. As you know, I'm Polish-Canadian. I was born in Canada. And growing up in Burlington has been wonderful. But I do hope to one day move to Toronto and to live here, just because the lifestyle, the culture, the art, the beauty behind all of the different restaurants. It's one of those places where I think everyone needs to come and visit. I've had the opportunity to travel to New York, Boston, different parts of the States, and different parts of Europe. I just spent the last month in Poland. And I feel that going to different parts of the world, enjoying fine dining, enjoying fine art, enjoying fine music and fine company only allows you to grow as an individual. Engaging in discussions about the latest trends in technology, the latest trends in fashion, the latest advancements in technology is something that intellectuals truly engage in. And obviously, spending a lot of time in Toronto, especially over the past year, I can say that the more I spend time in Toronto, the more I become even more in love with the city. So for those who are interested in traveling, I've had people ask me, what are some of the best places that you've traveled to? Your top three picks. And that's something that I oftentimes ask someone when I first meet them. Out of all of the countries and places that you've been and that you've seen, where would you recommend for one to go? And when I'm asked that question, my top pick has to be Toronto. It is certainly one of those places where you can live here, you can explore the city. And living here is one thing, but there's so much to do. And if you're a lover of the arts and you genuinely enjoy fine dining, fine food, fine people, and fine art and culture, this is the place for you to be.